Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Brian Entricken.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Brian Entricken, a.k.a. KC Bubba. You can find me on the Twitter at BDEntrick, B-D-E-N-T-R-E-K. I'm here to recap your Monday action on the diamond, get you ready for Tuesday. We have a full slate of action. We only had 8 games on Monday. We got everybody playing on Tuesday. So let's get cracking. News and notes from Monday. Ramil Tapia was designated for assignments by the Boston Red Sox as they reinstated Christian Arroyo, who had an RBI double on Monday. Welcome back, Christian. With Arroyo back, and then they have Emmanuel Reyes at shortstop, the Red Sox have a bit of a logjam right now. So Enrique Hernandez is going to play center field versus left-handed pitching. That's the announcement for now. We'll see what this, that means. Jaron Duran should play center field versus right-handed pitching. That's how that would all pan out. The fun part will be come June 9th, which is a couple days away, and Adam Duvall returns to the Boston Red Sox. So that'll be the real fun one there. But for now, Arroyo at second, Reyes at short, Hernandez in center field versus lefties, Duran in center field versus righties. Get ready for the platoon fun that will be the Boston Red Sox. Some more good news on Trevor Story with the Boston Red Sox. He's progressing quite well through his rehab assignment, and they're going to make a decision moving forward real soon on how to go with his rehab, like when's he going to start maybe playing in like games or whatnot. It's getting interesting now, and they aren't even ruling out the chance that they could have him come back in DH while he still builds up his arm to be able to play shortstop. That was the goal they mentioned last week, that when Story returns, he's playing shortstop. That's what they said. And I think most of us all along thought, okay, if he comes back at all this season, it'll be DH only, that's it. And then we got the news that he's way ahead of schedule. Now the news that he's so far ahead of schedule, he might come back in DH real soon and then go out and play the field, kind of like the Bryce Harper situation. So keep an eye on Trevor Story, a guy that, you know, in the preseason we thought was gone for good. Now he might be back sooner than later, like off the All-Star break or something, to DH, and that'd be pretty wild for Trevor Story. Brandon Lau. He goes to the IL with lower back inflammation. This is just a thing with Brandon Lau. It's a shame. No batting average, tons of power, always seems to find his way to the IL a few times a season. So Brandon Lau to the IL. Vidal Brujan was recalled. He started on Monday. Brujan's hitting .238 with 4 home runs and 9 stolen bases in AAA. Nothing too crazy there. The biggest takeaway on this one is Isak Paredes was losing playing time versus right-handed pitching. This should keep him in the lineup a little more with Taylor Walls and company taking over some roles too. So keep an eye on that in Tampa Bay. Omar Narvaez was reinstated from the IL for the New York Mets, hopefully backing up Mr. Alvarez, Francisco Alvarez. But with Narvaez coming back off the IL, Tomas Nito was designated for assignment. See ya. We got some fun news in Atlanta. The Atlanta Braves, not so fun news, but we kind of expected this one. Max Fried was moved to the 60-day IL. Okay, that made sense. And then the fun began. Mike Soroka, after a rough start on Sunday, was sent to AAA, demoted after 2 starts. Everyone was all pumped this time last week when he was facing the Oakland Athletics in his first start in almost 3 years. Well, another start later, he was back to AAA. So hopefully Soroka can figure it out. He had some good moments in his first 2 starts, but more like a you need to get more comfortable. It's been a long time moments in the grand scheme of things. So he goes back to AAA, and where the fun really begins. This means that AJ Smith-Shaver, the 20-year-old that started the season in single A all the way through AAA, already got promoted. He's scheduled to start on Friday for the Atlanta Braves. AJ Smith-Shaver in 7 games in the minor leagues this season, a 1.09 ERA, 35.2% strikeout rate with a 25.8% K to walk. He was really solid in his one appearance over the weekend on Sunday where he threw like 2 1/3 innings, looked really, really strong. Looked like he'd be a good multi-inning guy, kind of like Spencer Strider was when he first got called up. So now we'll see what AJ Smith-Shaver has in store for the Braves going forward here. The only caveat I'll mention is, like I said, it's great to see this all happening, but you know, in 2022 he threw 68 2/3 innings. That was the most he threw, 8 1/3, and after he got drafted in 2021, again fairly young. So far this season he's already thrown about 35 pitches, so you'd have to hope he gets up to the 100. I saw some very smart people say 125 innings, and if he can do that means he got about He got about 80 to 90 innings coming your way, which could be very, very valuable down the stretch in fantasy baseball. So keep an eye on the situation. Could be a fun Friday Braves game to pay attention to. We got some Marlins news and notes for you. Trevor Rogers, who's been really good in his first two rehab starts, will make another rehab start this weekend in AAA, and it could be his final rehab start. He's scheduled to throw six innings and get him fully stretched out for, you know, Trevor Rogers standards. And if all goes well, hopefully comes back next week. He's looked really good in his first two rehab starts. And it's just more depth to the Marlins. And Yuri Perez, got to keep an eye on him. He's going to hit his innings pretty quick this year because innings hasn't been stretched out a lot. He's also been kind of lucky at times in his starts. So he'd be the interesting one to go because Braxton Garrett, even though he got hit around on Monday, he's fine. Edward Cabrera, Sandy Alcantara, you got Jesus Luzardo. They're not going anywhere. So Yuri Perez would be the guy to keep an eye on when Trevor Rogers makes his way back. Jazz Chisholm, he's been progressing very nicely through his rehab. They think he's very close to coming back. He's going to have a follow-up appointment with a foot specialist on Wednesday. And if all goes well for Jazz, we could see him get back pretty, pretty soon. So that'd be nice for the Marlins and for fantasy managers all around. Luis Urias of the Milwaukee Brewers was supposed to be activated on Tuesday. Nah, got activated on Monday. He came back on Monday, was hitting maybe sixth for the Milwaukee Brewers in Great American Small Park, and Mike Brosu was sent to AAA. Jacob DeGrom, this was kind of we don't know the whole story, but the tweets that came out seemed very cryptic to me. Jacob DeGrom was transferred to the 60-day IL. Okay, he's eligible to come back June 28th. Okay, that's like in 3 weeks, and I don't think that's even going to happen. Because the thing that was weird on most of these tweets, because they basically took it verbatim from the Rangers, these were beat writers that did this, 60-day IL, eligible to return on June 28th, more news to come. The more news to come part never made me feel warm and fuzzy. It was like one thing, like, hey, 60-day IL, June 28th. Okay, cool. We got 3 weeks. Going to go on a rehab assignment maybe, whatever. We know he's barely throwing bullpens right now. More news to come makes me really curious how much Jacob DeGrom we're going to see this season. And we'll have to keep an eye on that one. Hopefully we get that more news pretty soon. Some bad news for the Cincinnati Reds. First off, Nick Senzel was scratched prior to Monday's game with right knee irritation. Not good for a guy that's had battled injuries throughout his entire career. And then a goofy one, like literally a half hour before game time, Jake Fraley was scratched with allergies. If I'm playing Julio Teheran and I'm scheduled to lead off for the Cincinnati Reds in Great American Small Park, Fraley, I'd be shotgunning Benadryl. I'd be doing whatever it took to be I'd be snorting Claritin. I don't know what it would take to do it, but I'd be in that lineup against Julio Teheran, and you make that one happen. So, yeah, and the most frustrating part about that is Fraley was just chilling in the dugout the whole game, talking to teammates, laughing. It's bizarre. It almost feels like it wasn't allergies. It's something else, and we don't know the whole story just yet because it's a wild one for Mr. Fraley. Last bit of news here. Jonathan India left Monday's game with back tightness, but the Reds say it was precautionary. He's expected to start on Tuesday against Los Angeles Dodgers as they come to Great American Small Park. Trent Grisham, he was scratched from Monday's game with lower back spasms. That's, you know, whatever. He's a valuable real-life baseball player, not so much fantasy. Xander Bogaerts missed another game. We expected that. We talked about that on yesterday's show. We expected him to miss a few games, so they're going to take it easy with Xander. And then Jose Altuve missed his third straight game with that oblique injury. He has not played. He sustained the injury on Friday, has not played since then. He was expected back on Monday. The fact he didn't play, red flags are beginning to get raised in Houston, so keep an eye on that situation with Jose Altuve. Let's talk about some hitting highlights from Monday. Trey Turner, oh my goodness, if you are on Twitter, you realize that everyone is just crying the blues over Trey Turner because it's June, and he's been 2 months, and he is horrible. He was not worth the draft pick. Okay. Trey Turner doesn't care what your tweets say because he went 4-for-5 with 2 home runs, 3 runs scored, and 3 RBIs on Monday. He's now hitting .243 with 7 home runs and 8 stolen bases. Would you like better? Of course. 32 runs scored, 19 RBIs. You want better than all that. The beautiful thing with Trey Turner, and especially in a Philadelphia lineup, in a very good hitter's ballpark. We saw this with Trey Turner with the Dodgers. He can put together like 1 month that'll make you forget he ever struggled at all in the entire season. Hitting that, like, he wasn't even, they moved him down to the order to get him comfortable. He's crushing it there. But if they put him back at the top of the order, he starts stealing bags. He'll score a ton of runs. I wouldn't be shocked if Trey Turner's hitting .285 with 20 home runs and 30 stolen bases and the almost 100 run score by the end of the season. Is that what you wanted from your number one pick or top five pick? Probably not. Kate, would you take that? Heck yeah. That's an awesome season with Trey Turner. If you like, you look at rest of the season projections with Trey Turner, the Bad X has him hitting 13 more home runs, which give him 20, 23 more stolen bases, which give him 31, and hitting .281. I was just spitballing those numbers off the top of my head, by the way, 61 runs scored. So they basically have the same line items throughout there at the wall. So I think we'd all take that one nicely. I want to mention Yiner Diaz of the Houston Astros, because this is a guy that when he was called up and he was playing for the Astros, like, okay, give him regular playing time. He can play the outfield. He can DH. He can catch. And it's just really never panned out to full-time playing time. He has 80 plate appearances now on the season, which is awesome. He needs more. And he's proved it time and time again when he takes the diamond. But on Monday, Diaz started a catcher for the Astros, and he's a much better offensive catcher than Maldonado. Diaz went 4-for-5 with 2 doubles and a run scored. He's now hitting .284 on the season, Diaz is, with 3 home runs, 12 runs scored, and 7 RBIs again in those 80 plate appearances. He's only striking out 17.5% of the time, and Diaz has a .203 ISO. He needs to play more. I bring this up because I think they're going to try to potentially play more either in the outfield because Brantley's still going to be gone for a while, or at catcher. So Diaz becomes a deeper league option, and if we see regular playing time, he is a 12-team option at catcher. He's very, very good offensively. Hopefully the Astros figure that out and get him out there at least 5 times a week or so. That would be awesome. Nick Castellanos, he's making everyone forget about the 2022 season that was, as he keeps scorching hot. He's 2-for-4 with a double, a run scored, RBI, and a walk on Monday. Casti now has 13 hits in his last 5 games. On the season, Castellanos is hitting .319 with 7 homers, 3 stolen bases, 38 runs scored, and 35 RBIs. He's looking very, very good, folks. For more details on the day's top hitters, make sure you check out the Daily's Batters Box on PitcherList.com. Some starting pitching highlights on your Monday. Aaron Nola, where has this been, my friend? Mwah. 7 innings pitched, no earned runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, 12 Ks. Yes, it was the Tigers. I get it. But it's nice to know it's still there with Aaron Nola. He took a no-hitter into the 7th. He had 21 whiffs and a 36% CSW on 108 pitches. My goodness, it was good to see that one take place. Andrew Abbott made his professional debut. 6 shutout innings with 1 hit, 4 walks, 6 Ks. Against the Milwaukee Brewers, 10 whiffs and 105 pitches. It wasn't like a 24% CSW. It wasn't overly dominant, but it was very good. Very, very good in Great American Small Park. And lots to like there. Hopefully we'll see what he does in his second start of the week before Fab and then see how much he's going to really cost everybody. And then Shane O'Mac, Shane McClanahan, 6 innings, 1 earned, 5 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks against the Boston Red Sox. He had 13 whiffs and a 33% CSW on 92 pitches. That gave Shane O'McClanahan the league-leading 9th win of the season. Dude's good, and I was wrong. I'm sorry, Shane O'Mac. Make sure you tune into the Plus Pitch Podcast with Nick Pollock and read his daily SP Roundup to get caught up on all things starting pitching. A couple closing notes for you from Monday. David Bednar, he's been used a lot lately. He had 3 or 4 saves last week and he was super busy. So he got the day off on Monday, and Colin Holderman picked up his first save of the season. He allowed 3 hits, got a strikeout, and then a double play ball to get out of the jam, but Holderman picked up the save. And I kind of joked about it on yesterday's show that Dylan Floro picked up the save. That might be his last one. He picked up his 7th save of the season on Monday as A.J. Puck is still not back. A.J. Puck was supposed to be back Monday. Now he's supposed to be back Tuesday. We'll keep an eye on this one. Until then, Floro's the guy. That's the point here. Picked up his 7th save on Monday. Make sure you check out the Reliever Ranks article on PitcherList.com to get caught up on all things relief pitching. All right, before we take a look at Tuesday's action on the diamond, let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast brought to you by PitcherList.com. Let's hear from our good buddy Mark Paquette as he previews Tuesday's weather.
Thanks, Brian. There's one game to watch for today, and that's going to be the Giants at the Rockies. There's going to be some showers and thunderstorms along the front range of the Rockies. Generally, they do a great job of getting games in Coors Field, but one of these times, we might not be so lucky. Could it be today? Probably not, but something to keep an eye on. Back to you.
Thanks, as always, Mark. We truly appreciate the help with the weather around baseball. DFS for you, got a 12-game slate starting at 7:05 p.m. Eastern time. Some of the bats I'm looking at, there's a lot of ways to go on this slate. It's just a few of them. You got Coors Field, Sean Manaea, Denelson Lamet. No, this is not like 2016. This is now. It's time to take advantage of this one. So Coors Field's live and in play. I like all of that. But if you want to get off of Coors, Diamondbacks versus Jake Irvin. Jake Irvin's just pitched to way too much contact. D-backs should have fun with that. Atlanta Braves versus Cookie Carrasco. Carrasco's been decent his last two starts. I still don't believe it. Look for Atlanta to take that one to town, but there's a lot of ways to go in the hitting department on Monday. Some of the pitching I am looking forward to, Mitch Keller versus Oakland. That should be a fun one. He always get right spot. Even Johan Oviedo looked good against Oakland on Monday. You got Clark Schmidt going up against the White Sox. Clark Schmidt's looked pretty good of late. I'm pretty impressed with what I saw. Dug in on him a bit in the latest bench with Bubba, so I'm pretty pumped on seeing what we got there with Clark Schmidt. And then Tommy Henry, first of two steps against the Washington Nationals. Henry, his last two starts have been really, really good. I like what we're seeing there after the kind of rough get-go there. Maybe might be the guy we were thinking, or the D-backs were thinking he could be when they called him up before Britton fought and everyone threw a fit. So Henry against Washington is another one for you there. Some things I'm looking forward to on Tuesday. I want to see Mitch Keller get back on track. Is like similar to Nola versus the Tigers, this is a game where Mitch Keller needs to dominate. He's had a couple of rocky starts on the road between the Mariners and the Giants. It's time to come home, face the Oakland A's, and dominate again. That's what good pitchers do, and we think Mitch Keller is a good pitcher now. Prove it. And then a couple of good matchups here. You got Giolito versus Clark Schmidt. I like to see that one because Giolito, I'm still a believer in. It's just been very frustrating with him, and there's no Aaron Judge, so his offense is pathetic in New York, so we'll see how Giolito can do. And then Clark Schmidt, like I said, he's pitched really, really well late. I like the adjustments in the pitch mix he's making. We'll see where that goes. Hunter Brown versus Kevin Gausman. Get your popcorn ready. Really excited about that one. Brown's been outstanding. Gausman's been a near Cy Young pitcher this year. That should be a blast. And then Mr. Matthew Liberatore taking on the Rangers. Everyone's got such high expectations for Liberatore. It hasn't really shown just yet. And now he takes on the best offense in all of baseball. So let's see how this one goes, folks. I saw a tweet on Monday from MLB Dream Picks that the Rangers are averaging over 7 runs per game at home this season. That's the best in all of baseball. They're also averaging near 6 runs per game on the road, which is the best in baseball. But they're averaging over 7 runs per game at home. That is ridiculous. That is insane. They're so good. So, so good. But that'll wrap it up, folks. Another episode of the First Pitch Podcast in the books. Make sure you all go to pitcherlist.com. Check out PL Plus and PL Pro and become a member. You will not regret it. You can you'll get be a part of the Discord, the Pitcher Bot, the PLV Bot, all kinds of cool stuff to help you become a better fantasy baseball player. Go to pitcherlist.com, PL Plus, PL Pro. But that'll do it. We will be back with you guys tomorrow to talk Wednesday, looking back on Tuesday, all that fun stuff. But for now, this was your First Pitch Podcast, Tuesday, June 6th edition. Hope you all have a great day.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.